5:13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer food good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is God's word for us, God's people. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding today. Well, as I mentioned, we continue this week with an examination of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the message that Matthew records early in his book about Jesus' teachings and instructions to the disciples. And as we learned last week, Jesus opens his message with a group of verses we've come to call the Beatitudes, a word that simply means a superior blessing. These blessings focus not on what we must do to be accepted, but rather on what God does through his great love for humanity. And in those words, he speaks of the meek, the grieving, the poor, and the oppressed. And I mentioned last week that I thought these words likely resonated with the disciples as they listened, because within them, they could identify and see themselves. They could share the pain and the struggles that people go through, each of us in our daily lives. And as we continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, we'll hear again these recurring themes of righteousness and justice, and we'll gain further insight into what Jesus' mission and purpose was. Well, Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Jesus tells his followers they are salt and light, a little thing like salt, and a fragile quality like light. And a little band of disciples sitting around him. And yet Jesus is telling them in the simplest of terms that they have the power to affect the entire earth and to change the world. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus speaks of this, the difference that people can make in the world, that you and I can make in the world, he uses small and often unnoticed substances, things like salt and light. Well, at least we may presume that they're small. But is there anyone here that's ever had to go on a low-salt or no-salt diet? Tastes great, doesn't it? Not very good. And it amazes me how just a little bit of salt can enhance the flavor of just about anything. Now, my wife Terry can take this to an extreme. She likes to put salt on watermelon, which is not something I'm a fan of, but she says it makes it better. But salt, whether we realize it or not, is essential to life. We need it. Our bodies need it. And despite the fact that we often consume too much of it, our history was filled with stories of its importance. Just this week, I was reading, I can't remember if it was a book or an article, but it was about the American Civil War. And at one point, the Union forces captured the salt mines that the Confederate forces relied upon. They were in Kanawha Valley in West Virginia. Apparently there's a big source of salt there. And when the Union took over these salt mines, it really put the Confederates in a bind because they no longer were able to preserve quantities of meat to feed their people, something I hadn't thought of before. So salt is something that we often take for granted, is small and seemingly insignificant, but has tremendous importance in our lives. And Jesus tells his disciples and us that we are the salt of the earth. Similarly, consider the importance of light, something else that we often take for granted. The sun comes up each day and pushes away the darkness. And how many of you, in the midst of a long stretch of overcast days, long for the feeling of sunlight? I know I do. I know Nevin and Joan are just back from Texas, and they pulled into town, and of course it's been snowy and cold. I'm sure they're anxious to go to Florida and see once again the sunlight. But in a darkened place with just a small amount of light, it can make an incredible difference. Back when Terry and I lived in Virginia, we took our children when they were smaller to see the Skyline Caverns in Front Royal. Ever been to Skyline Caverns or any cave, really? The tours were guided by an experienced person that was familiar with the caves. But I can remember we descended into the depths and we got down into one cavern and we were standing around and the guide turned off the light. Have you ever had that experience? Well, I have never been in a place where it was so dark. I put my hand up to my face like this and I couldn't see it. It was really a strange sensation, total darkness. And it was just a small flashlight that he held, but when he turned it back on, I was so thankful because it pushed back that darkness. And I don't know if you realize it, you probably do, but the darker it is, the smaller the amount of light needs to be in order to illuminate the area. And Jesus said, "We are the light of the world." And like in the depths of that cavern, just a small amount of our light can push back the darkness as well. Well, Thomas Aquinas long ago reminded his congregation that our light is reflected light. He said that we are more like the moon than the sun, because Jesus is the sun, the source of our light, and we are just reflections of his light. "You are my light shining in the world," Jesus tells us. And then he says, "A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all the house." Our light, the reflected light of Christ that's within us, cannot be hidden. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to shine with the love of Jesus Christ. Well, I have to admit to you, I've been struggling lately. I struggled this week with this message. Because you see, I don't agree with many of the things that are happening in our country. It's not the decision so much as the way the decisions are happening. And I don't like the way people are choosing to respond to some of those decisions. And as I read and I watch, I struggle with how I can reflect the light of Christ to others. I find myself afraid to say anything because I know whatever I say might be taken the wrong way or taken out of context. And people seem to have very little tolerance for things that they disagree with. I don't think I'm alone with this feeling. One commentary I read this week warned me about this message. It said, "A sermon on this portion of the Sermon on the Mount will tell the truth about our default setting, which leans towards comfort, conformity, and complacency, when what Jesus really needs is for us to be the salt and the light, the salt that just might sting and the light that just might expose what we do not want to see." So if it's clear that Jesus wants us to speak and wants us to act, the next question is how? How are we to reflect the light of Christ in such a way that it will be pleasing to God and faithful to the message of Jesus Christ. I've shared with you before that I believe any words we speak or any actions we undertake should first be put through our Jesus filter. Jesus spoke a message of love and compassion, and that, I believe, is a central theme of the New Testament. This week, I wrote an article for our February and March newsletter, and one of the assertions that I made in that article is that I believe a large part of what is happening today in our country is driven by fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the other person, fear of change. And I quoted some scripture from 1 John that offers a prescription for fear. And what I wrote is, love can defeat fear if we are diligent and persistent in our pursuit to become Christ-like. And it comes down to how we treat people. When we succumb to anger and turn that anger on others, we are allowing fear to have control in our lives. And when we, as professed Christians and servants of God, fall into this trap, what hope is there? Where else will the light and the saltiness come from, if not from us? So yes, our words are important. How we speak them and the tone of our voice is important. And the actions that we take, maybe those are even more important. Well, then I look at our church motto and read the verse in John 17:21 that says, where Jesus prays for us and asks God to make us one. And I think about how difficult that is. And while we are called to be one, I don't think that that means we all have to agree on everything. I did a class several years ago down in Virginia. It was geared towards the youth, but it was of such a nature that I offered it to the parents of the youth, and they would come in on Wednesday. I'd present the class, and then on Sunday, I would give it to the youth. And the reason I did this was because it dealt with some very difficult issues and topics. We talked about abortion, premarital sex, the death penalty, homosexuality, and some of the other social issues that have become very divisive. And I brought in guest speakers, not just any guest speakers, but people whose lives have been touched in some way by one of those issues and how it had affected the way they saw things. I even had someone come in and talk about the death penalty and how much they had struggled with it because their grandmother had been murdered. And they just were very angry. Well, as you can guess, it was a powerful class. And many of us had our eyes opened to a different way of thinking. And at the end of it, we realized that we all still didn't agree on everything. But there was no judgment or criticism. There was simply a greater understanding of the issue, of what the Bible had to say about that issue, and an appreciation of how a person's views could change based on their life experiences. Look again at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, because as I was reading this, it gave me another clue as to how we can reflect the light of Christ in our time and place. Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, these words imply that shining our light and being salty involves doing something. It involves works, not just any works, works that honor and glorify God. Some of the works that I see being done on the streets of America today are in no way glorifying God. But this is something that I feel our church is good at, that we've done in the past, and that we can continue to do. And like the qualities of salt and light, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to grab headlines. It can be small. And we leave it to God to expand on that small thing so that that grows, that point of light grows, several years ago. In fact, 1989, President George H.W. Bush used a phrase during his inaugural address. Some of you may remember. Do you remember it? 1,000 points of light. Some of you don't remember it. You weren't born yet. 1,000 points of light. And he encouraged people to serve their communities in some way. And as I was reading and pondering this, it reminded me of that inaugural speech that George Bush gave. So we have some things to think about today. And I've probably given you more questions than I have answers. But it's important that we recognize that with God's blessings, his beatitudes, comes responsibility. Because we are the light of the world. And notice Jesus didn't say, please try to be the light of the world. He said, be the light of the world. So I'm going to teach you a new cheer. Okay, you ready? You may be familiar with part of it. We are. We are the light of the world. Let's try it. We are. We are the salt of the earth. We are. And Christ is counting on you. Amen.